Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You're listening to the Master Wildlife Filmmaking Podcast, episode 36. Lisa Sanford left a career in journalism to become a documentary filmmaker, specializing in difficult and remote expedition projects. She has filmed across 5 continents on a diverse collection of projects, exploring topics ranging from science and discovery, violent crime, espionage, and ethnographic and archaeologic expeditions, to intimate personal portraits of author Wallace Stegner and conservation pioneer Mardy Murie. Joining the ranks of the urban refugee, Lisa returned to Jackson Hole to raise her son with paleontologist Wallace Ulrich. As executive director of the internationally renowned Jackson Wild, formerly Jackson Hole Wildlife Film Festival, since 2004, Lisa curates and oversees all programming, including its annual summit and international film competition, global partnerships, media labs, and impact coalitions, as well as its annual United Nations World Wildlife Day Film Showcase. Lisa is committed to amplifying the power of media to inspire wonder for our living planet and ignite action to restore and protect it through high-impact collaborations, as well as elevating diverse global perspectives that directly engage new audiences to address the critical challenges facing our world. Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for taking the time out to be on the Master Wildlife Filmmaking Podcast this morning. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Jake. How's it going in Nevada?
Well, funnily enough, I was looking at your beautiful blue sky there behind you and trees, and that's normally what it's like here, but this morning it is blowing a gale outside and raining, so it looks like the weather has flipped for us.
Yeah, well, you can see I'm bundled because it's really chilly cold here, but it's so gorgeous outside, you know, take it while you can.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks beautiful. It's nice to see you sitting outside. That's awesome. So let's start, as I start all of these episodes, with the beginning of your career path. What has led you to this point now? So really, let's start as far back as you want to go. What was it that got you into the filmmaking industry?
Well, I think like a lot of people, I backed into it. You know, it wasn't something I really planned. My career path is truly a meander. And I wholeheartedly endorse that for everyone. You know, I started out being extremely driven and, you know, very focused on what I thought I wanted to do, which was be in journalism. And I discovered as I went through school, you know, when I was in graduate school, I took my first photography course. And I can remember I was probably 19 or 20 at the time. And I can remember thinking, oh my God, if only I had discovered this earlier. You know, this is what I really want to do, but I'm on a path. And actually believing at that point that I was on a path that, you know, was a linear one. After a career in journalism, mostly as an editor, I veered back toward visuals and the arts and photography. I started a graphic design studio with my best friend. We had 8 or 9 artists working with us, doing books, album covers, you know, lots of rectangular visual things. My boyfriend at the time was a cinematographer who is going these amazing places and having fabulous adventures while I was in a studio with 8 wonderful artists looking at rectangles. And I just thought, what the heck am I doing? And just changed, just pivoted.
It's amazing how that, I think so many people see the lifestyle of traveling the world and filming incredible wildlife and what have you. And that is such a pull to so many people. So what was it that then, how did you then transition from your graphic design into filmmaking?
It's oblique. I really use the journalism piece of it more than anything. In the, I worked with my boyfriend and his friends and, just started at the bottom being a PA, doing sound recording and camera assisting and just understanding what the crafts were and just kind of leaning in toward learning everything that I could. And it didn't take long for me to discover that I wasn't very good at taking direction from a boyfriend. And I was less good at being a technical person in the camera or sound department. And where my strengths were was really in producing.
It's
I
always,
just.
it's incredible when there's a mix of friendship or relationships. It either works or it doesn't, right?
And you know
Taking
what?
direction from your other half.
The whole thing about film is it's just such a collaborative enterprise, and I think that's a big piece of what drew me there. It's a group experience, and you draw on the inspiration of the people around you and the creativity of the people around you, and it becomes such a just it's fun. I mean, seriously, anybody who's in this business knows it's fun.
Absolutely. It's the most fun you can have for a job, I believe. I mean, that's why I do it. I love all aspects of the filmmaking industry. And I should just say to listeners at this point, because they might hear some crashing in the background, you have some construction work going on, I believe, nearby. And so we can't see it on the video, but it's happening in the background if anyone's wondering what the bashing is. But otherwise you're sounding
Welcome
great.
to
So
Jackson Hole.
right, there we go. So now, you didn't get directly into wildlife filmmaking, I don't believe. You went down a different path of filmmaking. What was it that you first started filming or producing?
I was doing a lot of work with a lot of the same networks and channels that produce nature and wildlife film. I was more focused on social issues. I moved to Los Angeles because, for in my little world, that was kind of the epicenter of where a lot of production was happening, and worked at the PBS station there, at a couple of the major networks, on specific projects. And this was all in the mid-80s, mid-late 80s, I want to say. During that time, it was, golly, let me just collect my thoughts for a second here, because you're taking me back a very far distance in my own memory. It was kind of a dark period for me, because a lot of the projects that I was working on were really focused on violent crime and, sort of a sad piece of a lot of people's worlds. I did a show called Day in the Death of America that was documenting all of the gun-related deaths in a 24-hour period in the US. And we're talking about, this is before Google, so it was hard to find them. And so I came on as an associate producer. That's, sort of where I landed at the beginning of my career. I'd done a few things in, failed technical errors. I'm really terrible in tech, let's be clear. But I do understand what's required to be better than I was. My niche was as an associate producer. My journalism background made me a fabulous researcher. And I like being around people. I like communicating with people. So I'm a good interviewer and tend to draw people out. So I was kind of built for those jobs, and I gravitated toward them. So there was a particular few-year period where Day in the Death of America, for example, was, as I said, 24 hours of gun-related deaths. And you know, some of those are accidental, some are suicides, some are, you know, random, some are intentional killings. You know, it's a whole mixed bag, but lives are destroyed. And yep. pretty much everybody that I had to deal with had had their life upended because of violence. In that particular case, I had to pick the day that we were going to select. So I picked a Friday night in August with a full moon, because all the stats support that there will be more gun-related deaths that day. And then spent the next 6 months going around the country finding people whose lives had been completely upended because of that one day and because of guns.
What kind of emotional toll does that take on you as a producer, you know, whatever role it might be, but immersing yourself in that kind of, I mean, I think we know as wildlife filmmakers, just watching some of the tragedy that occurs with wildlife and in some cases, just the nature of being, you know, a lion taking down a gazelle and, you know, filming it and watching what can be horrific sometimes to see can take a toll on you emotionally, but doing it for 6 months and when it's so close to home, as in human related incidents, what kind of toll does that take on you?
It's a lot. I mean, you know, every person you encounter in life touches you, and if the people around you are devastated and damaged, you take a bit of that on yourself. I can't imagine the jobs that some people have where this is their life. Can you imagine how giving and how emotionally draining their lives must be where they've been doing? I did it for about 5 years. I did it on my next project too, which was about violent crime. So we did rape, murder, aggravated assault, armed robbery, and I immersed myself in the lives of the victims and the criminals for almost 2 years. I can't imagine spending 20 or 30 years being able to survive that. And I couldn't, you know, it took its toll on me. I had to leave that. It was too hard.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine. You know, I think the closest I've ever come to anything like that was I filmed an episode of Intervention years ago. And I remember the intervention scene, for anyone who doesn't know, it was following a heroin addict in their day-to-day life. And then at the end, there's an intervention with all the families that get together and to perform an intervention on the person. And I remember looking around the three camera people and the rest of the crew, looking around at everybody, including myself, is just wiping tears away. It's so emotionally charged that it's hard to detach yourself from that emotional, you know, the emotion in the room. And I could never imagine, that was something I couldn't stick with because I just didn't want to feel like that every day. And so I can imagine. So what was, you gave that up specifically because of the emotional toll and moved on to other genres?
I started looking at other projects and other types. Actually, you know, there was actually a turning point in there. After the violent crime project, which was a couple year project, where, you know, I had a contract taken out on me by the Crips gang because that guy didn't like his interview when we actually did it. And it was just hard. It was hard. There were so many broken lives in that film.
You can't say that and then me just leave that there. How did you get past that? That scenario, was it, did you have to remove the interview or did you have, well, how did that end?
No, it didn't end. I mean, I'm not dead. It continued. He's
just
probably
on.
Still in jail. I don't know. You know, just, I think I moved houses so
right.
that I wouldn't be as easily accessed. And again, you know, we're talking about when you couldn't Google anybody and find them very easily.
Right.
So, you know, it was easier to just sidestep than it
sure.
is today. But I went in after it was all done, and I was having a massage, and the woman who was giving me this massage was talking about the Dalai Lama coming to LA for his 50th birthday. So that had to be, what, mid-80s sometime?
Yeah.
For his 50th birthday, and I, you know, I was pretty young. I didn't even know about the Dalai Lama at that time. I was like, tell me. She told me about him, and I said, you know, that would be such a vacation from what I've been doing. I would love to do something like that, you know, like follow, like cover that, you know, I'm starting to look for new ideas. And I got the most, seriously, totally out of the blue, unrelated. I have no idea how I got that call, but I got a call from someone in Canada who was doing a film on the Dalai Lama, and they were looking for a team in LA to do it, and asked me if I would be the sound recordist. I was like, oh yeah. And I said, you know what? Absolutely, I will do this. And I will tell you up front that I'm a producer, I'm not a sound recordist, and I would never hire me as a sound recordist. And absolutely, I'm in. And and so I helped him put together a little team, three-people team, and we spent a week with the Dalai Lama documenting his week in Los Angeles and the ceremonies he did, the interviews he did. When we met him, he served us lunch. And
wow.
That experience changed my life.
Yeah, I bet.
It really made me go inside and start to reflect on how I wanted to spend my time, and the importance of finding joy in a fractured world. So that was, that truly was a pivotal week for me, that just kind of serendipitously dropped in my lap for no good reason, except that sometimes you get gifts from the universe.
Yeah, and it sounded like that is what you needed. I mean, it's almost two extremes there, you know, going from one to the other. So you, was it that point that you decided, okay, you need to look for different things? How did that, that transpire?
So after that, it really dawned on me that I didn't have to take every job that was in front of me, and I could be a lot more intentional about what I wanted to do with my time, and I started being a little more selective, which again comes from being able to have some more experience behind you where you don't feel desperately forced to take every job in front of you. But
yeah.
I really started exploring the world and really taking on, you know, difficult expedition shoots to remote places. It was challenging. It was fun. You got to go to really cool, interesting places, meet people that you would never meet in a meaningful way. It was fabulous, and a little bit, I don't know what the words would be, self-indulgent maybe, because, you know, again, just having so much fun.
Well, it probably felt that way after coming from what you were doing, having mm-hmm. contracts taken out of you because of the kind of things that you were filming and interviews. I can imagine how suddenly, even though you're doing great work, because you're traveling and you're not having to look over your shoulder every 5 seconds, would suddenly feel that way.
And yet, you know, the thing is about going to new places, whether they're far away or, you know, just, you know, an hour or two away from your home, you just expose yourself to different experiences, different people, and start listening in a different kind of way. And that is something that is enriching in every part of life.
You know, I love the fact that you stated it in that way, that it felt self-indulgent, because I think so many of us in this industry who have had the, you know, pleasure of traveling and the honor of traveling the world and filming incredible cultures and wildlife, so much of the time, you know, we know how lucky we are, but so much of the time it's just so fleeting because you're so busy, you're working so much that you kind of, especially at the beginning of your career, you miss a lot of the culture, and you come back and go, wow, I don't really remember much other than just the work. And I think it's lovely just the way that you explained it, because it shows, I think, you appreciated every second of where you were based on your career to that point.
Yeah, I think at that time in my life, I was really feeling immersed in everything that I was actually doing at that minute. And what I missed were like normal relationships, normal family gatherings, you know, just being able to have a normal life with my pals, because everything seemed so consumptive. I mean, I think that's one of the things that attracted me to this media is, it's consumptive. You know, you get involved with people's lives. You get involved in the unfolding of science or the unfolding of a story, you know, whatever it is that's in front of you. It kind of demands everything out of you at that minute. And it's, you know, it's very fulfilling and all encompassing.
Yes, I agree 100%. I actually, I never thought about it like this until this point, but in some ways it's almost like self-development. You know, reading a self-development book to better yourself. Filmmaking in this industry is kind of like that, because you start to learn new things, and I find it's made me a better person throughout my career, just because of the places I've been, the people I've met, the things I've learned along the way, and the way that I now know I want to be in the world based on those things. And you know, that's life experiences. So, you know, we are very lucky to have had the experiences we have, certainly in this industry.
But that's the thing, is it's so intimate. It's not like you're just going out and taking pretty pictures. You're really becoming part of somebody's life, and they're letting you in. They're giving you permission to tell their stories. And that's an intimate gift that can't be underestimated.
For sure, for sure. Now, there's a transition here where obviously you went from producing, being in the field, to running Jackson Hole Wildlife Film Festival, now known as Jackson Wild. Lead us through that transition there. What was it what happened there? What is the catalyst to you deciding to do that?
Well, I decided I didn't want to be in LA anymore. I wanted to have a child. I wanted to be back in Wyoming, in Jackson Hole specifically. And I wanted to craft a different lifestyle for myself. So I was, you know, it was an intentional decision to come back here. And let's be clear, I'm from Wyoming. So this is home for me. This isn't, you know, like going to some fancy resort town because it's cute and pretty. This is my home.
Which is happening a lot these days, right?
Yeah, this, you know, Wyoming is in my DNA. And so for me, it really was about coming home and trying to continue in the track that I was in. I had my child, and I had taken on a very cool couple of projects where we were going to be, it was in the United Arab Emirates, and they were going to fly a balloon over the empty corridor and do some remote sensing and find all of the Cretaceous period dinosaurs and there are many in that area. And so there were two tracks that were happening. One was the scientific track of finding these dinosaurs and excavating them. And then the other track was filming that project, which is an IMAX project, and filming another project that was more of a narrative, sort of beautiful narrative story, fantasy kind of project. And those elements would help to anchor a big museum that was going to be developed in the country. And my brother was living in the UAE at the time with his family. You know, my husband and son were at an age, you know, my husband's a paleontologist. So he was very, very interested and engaged in this project. My son was at an age that being with his cousins would be fabulous. And so that's what my next 3 years were going to look like. And then 9/11 happened, and the bottom fell out of that, you know, if the projects never happened at all.
Right.
But if they had, they would never have happened with a woman American producer handling them. So I was just, I'd been going to the Jackson Hole Wildlife Film Festival for years. I'd been attending because a lot of the projects, even though I wasn't in nature that much, they were being commissioned by the same commissioners that commission nature and film projects. So it was fun. It was in my hometown. And, things collided. They needed somebody to pick up and carry the ball moving forward. And I just, I treated it like another film job for a few years and then became the executive director after that.
That's fantastic. Now, you've been there since 2004. Am I getting that right?
Somewhere along that. It's been a long time. It's
okay.
2005, something like that.
And Jackson Wild is really, one of the most preeminent wildlife film festivals around the globe. I think Wild Screen and Jackson Hole really are the two biggest festivals there are when it comes to the wildlife genre. Let's talk a little bit about the role of film festivals and the importance of film festivals. What do you believe the role of film festivals is?
Well, I think there are a lot of different kinds of film festivals. There are some that really gravitate toward the public and want to create outfacing programming and really engage people in sort of that process. And then there are some more in-facing conferences and summits and festivals where it's the industry itself looking internally and getting inspiration and showcasing new voices, new perspectives, new projects internally, and that they're very different. There's just the focal points of both of those are very different. And then there are some that merge both very happily together. And in the case of Jackson Wild, we really are an internally facing industry conference and community. We really look to the convenings that we're producing, the summit during normal years, the annual summit during normal years, and the, sort of the monthly gatherings and the, the virtual collective hub during these crazier times where it's more difficult to convene face to face. But I think the primary role in my mind as an industry convening is to really reflect what the community that you're targeting wants. In our case, it's a time to gather people together face to face. A lot of people who spend a lot of time in remote places coming together to be inspired by each other, be inspired by work, look at new innovative ways to tell stories, new platforms, find new stories, connect with those people who are doing the work on the ground, the scientists, the conservationists, the passionate people whose stories want to be told, need to be told. And fundamentally accelerate film as an opportunity, as a vehicle to be, for each of us and as individuals, to be agents of change. We're so far outside of that period of time where the role of media, and that's where it was when I was starting, it was to entertain and inform. And that is, we're so beyond that now. If media doesn't connect people directly and immediately to action that they can take and whatever that means, whether that's volunteering your time or, planting trees or giving money or whatever that means. If media doesn't connect us to the world around us, we're wasting everyone's time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think Jackson Wild does such an amazing job at all of those things, because there are so many film festivals, all sorts of genres, but even in the nature, wildlife, natural history genre, there's quite a few these days. And so many of them, I won't mention any names, but there are some that are very much festivals for people to go and see new films. And that's fantastic.
That's really great.
Absolutely.
But that's not what we're doing.
Sure. Yeah, there's a place for all festivals, without a doubt. What I love about Jackson Wild is that you guys have really, you know, you are in taking it to so many different levels with the coalition, the collective, the awards, the summit, the way that you've handled the pandemic, like so many festivals had to. But being able to really maintain all of those focuses throughout that, which must have been unbelievably hard, you know, not being able to do in-person events. And I mean, having been there and, you know, just from a networking standpoint as a filmmaker, it's fantastic. All the people that you want to see, the people you know, that it's like a second family, and then the people you don't know who you want to get to, you know, meet and network with. Just how casual it is. It's formal to a sense, but informal in terms of it's like chatting with friends, which is great. Some of the best meetings I think happen over a coffee at the breakfast table, you know. And then just showing wonderful films, having great panels that really dissect those films and talk about the action that they're you know, hoping people will take and they're putting out there into the world. And really just looking at all of these different angles, I think, is so unbelievably important. And Jackson Wild does it so well. And so, I talk about this a lot on the podcast about the importance of festivals if you're looking to break in. And most of our listeners are people who, you know, this is for aspiring filmmakers who are looking to get into this industry. And of course, film festivals from that point of view couldn't be more important, because that is where all of your peers are hanging out and, you know, on a yearly basis. So let's talk about that, actually. Now, Jackson Wild is, you have a few different things going on now, because there's also the Science Awards.
Honestly, Award. Jake, that's one of the heart and soul of some of what's most important to us is, you know, is bringing new perspectives, emerging filmmakers, you know, just early career filmmakers who want to connect with like-minded others, want to learn more, want to teach, because you know, they have a lot to teach those of us who have been around for way too long. But the whole point is that there is nothing like getting to know someone casually and knowing that you're beginning a relationship, because that's what life is about. Are those connections, and showing up is 90% of everything anybody does in life, you know. No matter, you know, whether it's going to school or just connecting with people who can inspire you and engage you. And a lot of what Jackson is about is provoking new conversations and introducing new perspectives into the mix. I mean, we're at a really great and dynamic time right now. It doesn't cost $100,000 to buy a camera. And there is, you know, it's a much lower barrier to entry. Anybody who wants to can tell a story, and everyone has stories to tell, and finding those connections has never been more important, and new perspectives, new global perspectives, never more important in the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's, I mean, we talk about this a lot because of the whole barrier of entry, you know, 20 years ago when, as you say, it was $100,000 to get a Sony F900 with a lens, you know, and go out and film. And then, of course, you had to have the stock media, and you had to know how to use all that stuff. Then, you know, just editing it was another fortune in itself. And now we're at the place where that just is not the case. Anyone can get their hands on a camera of some sort.
And with the proliferation of platforms, you know, it's just, there is no excuse for not doing this. If you want to tell stories, make it happen.
And I think that is the key right there, is stories. Because, you know, with my mentoring group that I run, one of the things that comes up more than anything is story. It's all about, you know, there is no barrier anymore other than how do you tell a story? And so many people say, well, they've all been told. What am I going to do? And of course, it's so untrue. One, we're discovering new species all the time. Two, it doesn't matter. Look at how many of these things have been told and retold. And there's still innovative ways to tell them, new technology. As you say, you know, younger people are coming in and know way more than us about, you know, a lot of the tech going on. And because they're just growing up with it. And to us, it's like, wow, we've got to learn all this new stuff now to stay relevant almost.
And finding, you know, it's like telling different stories in new ways to new audiences. You know, everything is evolving all the time. It's like life. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
But I do think that that an important element of convenings, whether it's Jackson Wild, Wild Screen, or any other that you choose, finding your people, finding your family, finding those who can help elevate you in terms of your skill level, your perspectives, and people who want to listen to you as well at the same time. Mentorships are huge. And that's something that we take very seriously here. And it's something that we're spending a lot of energy and a lot of time on that will be developed even to greater degrees in the future. I know, just from conversations with our board recently, this is going to become an even more important aspect of our programming on an ongoing way. So that it's not just a festival, it's not a summit, it's really a community that has connectivity over time and in lots of different ways.
Yeah, and that, I forgot to mention that actually when I was mentioning all the things you guys are doing. Mentoring's huge. I've been a mentor at Jackson Wild, and just having that connection with people who are coming in and seeing old faces as well who are there, and you know, you get to see them year on year. It's fantastic because, you know, there's not many, it's such a small industry, first of all, such a small industry. Everyone is so connected, and there is so much we can learn in terms of new people coming in, as you say, showing us new things. And then, you know, top down, it's just, it's all over in terms of who can mentor who, how that information is taken and used, how often. What I love about what you guys are doing is the fact that you're connecting people, and they can come back, you know, month on month and have a chat and find out if there's something specific they need to know, then they have contacts to be able to do that. And I remember starting out how difficult it was, as you say, right? There was no internet. There was no, not really in the way that we know it today, a way that you could really contact people and find information about people like you can these days. And so it was so much harder to make these connections, let alone get anyone to spend any time on a call with you whatsoever. You know, you literally had to be face to face at a conference and, you know, and hope that person had time to give you. And that is a changing face of everything right now. And I think it's wonderful because we're all aiming for the same goals at the end of the day.
No, it really is one of the better elements of our time. And I think you'll, you know, as a mentor, speaking as a mentor yourself, you get that you're also a mentee because you're getting so much from that person that you're working with. You yes. learn a lot.
Yeah, you really do.
Lots of new ideas come out.
So Lisa, in terms of advice for our listeners, if you had advice now from a producer perspective, from you know, a perspective of the festival, what advice would you give people who are looking to get into this industry? You know, this industry is interesting because, you know, sometimes you fall into it. Like, you know, I certainly fell into the industry based on my background. But it can be challenging to navigate once you're there, and you can have some success and then it can fall away, and you can, you know, and you can struggle to find work again. It just can be, a hard journey. And so what would you say to people in that situation where either they're just looking to break in, they haven't done anything before, or they're already in this industry, but they are really looking to navigate more through it and make it a full-time career? What would you say to them?
I would say, let me just collect my thoughts for a second here.
Sure.
Lean in, be diligent, be persistent. Don't give up. You know, we've all spent time giving away, you know, lots of weeks and months working for free. don't be afraid of that. Take that risk. Do it. It's not going to be the rest of your life. But most importantly, it's leaning in, it's listening, it's developing relationships, and being intentional. Don't spend your time, you are what you do. So be conscious about the projects that you take and the stories that you want to tell. Just be conscious and intentional, because passion is everything. Commitment is everything. And there are stories that only you can tell.
I love it. I think that's so true. All of that. It's it is that place where we talk about passion a lot, and it's and some people think it's cliche these days, but the fact is that this is such a passion-driven industry. I mean, we tell stories. The stories I pick, I do because I'm passionate about the subjects and the behavior and the impact that I can have on the world with those stories. And I think it's so important to remember that and us not push it to the side thinking it's cliche. Because I know a lot of people these days say, oh, it's passion. You got to do it. You got to love what you do. But it's so true. It is so true. Because if you don't love this, you're not going to last in it very long. You know, you've got to take on something that you do love.
Yeah, I love it at least part of the time. You know, sometimes yeah, it's pretty
it'll
hard.
Get every, hey, everything's sometimes hard at some
really
point,
hard.
Right?
But, you know, hope is a choice. Everything that you do, it's all a choice. And I think it's really important to examine why you want to do what you do and what you want to achieve. And this is a time where, more than any other time in our history, the role of media as an agent of change, as an agent of influence in terms of connecting people personally with each other, with the world, with whatever, has never been greater. You know, that's what keeps the fire going.
Yeah, we all have that opportunity now to put things out in the world like never before, mm-hmm. like never before. So, Lisa, thank you so much. Is there anything else you would like to add in terms of what's happening with Jackson Wilde in the future? Actually, one of the things I did want to ask just before we go is that you have the Smash Awards as well, right? There's more.
Oh no, Smash is gone. Jackson Wilde.
Smash is gone.
Smash is gone. So what that was, you know, we had moved. Smash was. We were doing 1 year nature, the other year science, nature and conservation, science. And we really, again, which is what I encourage everyone to do, about 3 or 4 years ago, took a time to sit down and reflect on a board level, what we did well, what we thought our role should be in the world, and how could we do more of that. And we are focusing strictly on that intersection between science, media, and conservation. And action, effectively, impact. And it's an annual conference, an annual awards event, but it's more than annual, it's year-round programming, all designed to accelerate change within that, you know, nice little nexus of science, media, conservation, nature. We're in, you know, really volatile times in our as a planet. And again, back to the role of media in this sector has never been more important. And we're completely leaning in that regard. And we don't consider ourselves a 1 year, you know, an annual event. It's year round programming designed specifically to accelerate training, new perspectives, and impact, period.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad I asked that, because that brings total clarity to what you guys are doing. That's fantastic. And it's an evolution, right? I mean, that's what it's all about.
Evolve, change, thrive, respond. That's what we are as creatures. It's what we are as an industry. And as filmmakers, everybody knows, you know, you run into some sort of obstacle, pivot and respond. That's what you have to do. So you're, most of the people who are listening to you are early career filmmakers. And I would like to just do a plug then for The Collective, which is our online hub that translates into in-person connection as well. but it's, you know, at the heart of database, but it's way more than that. It's opportunities, it's connections, it will be sub-communities by interest, whether that's craft or geography or whatever. But it is it's an online hub for connectivity with people within our sector. And as we just launched it a couple of months ago, and as it develops, will become more and more a resource for producers looking for local talent and creatives around the planet. So
that's wonderful. I'm part of the collective. I think I would yet say to anyone to apply, because I think it's wonderful to have those resources out there, without a doubt. And finally, Lisa, also what I would love to do is just ask you about what people can do if they want to come along and volunteer, because I've always said, you know, if you want to be, it can be expensive, especially these days coming to Jackson, you know, just getting lodging and just, you know, trying to stay there for the festival. What are people's opportunities these days if they want to come along and help you guys out?
There are, it's just that simple. Volunteer, and that is going to be more and more year round. And some of that's volunteering to be mentoring of people coming, you know, who are less experienced than you. Sometimes it's being, you know, doing something relative to the summit, or it could be doing something in one of our online gatherings. We do a lot of trainings. You know, part of that whole collective thing is everything's free. It's a membership organization, but everything is free. But it's really designed to, you know, to connect our communities. So, you know, we're not looking for, you know, people who just like animals, who want to know filmmakers. We're really looking at this as a community of nature, conservation, science filmmakers, and the people who are engaged in that sector. But I would say go there, be active, and you know where your strengths are and what you can do to volunteer, whether that's at an event, whether it's doing online interviews or editing. Oh my gosh, right now, you know, we're getting ready to launch out. We do an annual partnership with CITES and UN Development for World Wildlife Day. And, you know, we always need people who are great editors. We need footage. We, you know, we're a groveling nonprofit. We need everything.
Who should people reach out to at Jackson Wild if they are interested in helping you out?
Well, you can reach out to me if you want, and then I'll toss it to the right person who will actually take care of it.
Fantastic.
So that's Lisa at jacksonwild.org.
Awesome. And I will put a link to you on the website page. Where else can people go to find out more about Jackson Wild?
Jacksonwild.org.
jacksonwild.org. So I will place a link on there as well. And you guys, you have Instagram and you have Facebook. I believe I follow both of them. So I will put links for those as well. Yeah. Anywhere else? Is there anywhere else? That's probably covering everything, I would think.
Covers it. There's Facebook, Insta, Twitter. Always awesome. Looking for new. We haven't done any TikToks, to my knowledge.
Right.
Although there was a move internally, so some of them may have happened. Yes, we need TikToks. The whole nature world does.
Yes, there you go. All right. Well, look, there's a voluntary position at Jackson Wild for a TikTok editor. Lisa, it's been fantastic to chat with you this morning. And I'm so glad you're able to sit outside in the beautiful weather and do it as well. That's wonderful.
Thanks so much, Jake. Be well.
Thank you, and you. Bye-bye. If you've enjoyed this episode of the Master Wildlife Filmmaking Podcast, then please leave a rating and a comment. And remember to subscribe to keep up to date with the series' future episodes. You can find out more information about wildlife filming at jakewillers.com. And if you're interested in starting a career in the wildlife filmmaking industry or being mentored to further your career, then please visit jakewillers.com/mentorship. Thanks for listening.